When I first encountered the Hoe Avenue Crossbar 1 in 1976, I found that it had a unique way of handling vacant codes. But before I get to that, I want to explain what this is. There's a tone that is used in the downstate New York area for partial dial conditions. It's used almost universally on Crossbar 5, especially in Long Island and Westchester. But some Crossbar 1s use it too. Here's Ben getting it from his Bell Harbor No. 1 Crossbar line. He's dialing a local call and stopping after only dialing 6 digits. Because he dialed 6 digits, the call has already started to go through, and it's waiting for the 7th, but he's not going to dial it in this case. Eventually, a certain tone is going to come on, and that tone means you waited too long to dial, hang up and try again. So that's the partial dial signal. In number 5 Crossbar, it comes from a dedicated trunk, and once you get it, you're not going anywhere. But in number 1 Crossbar, where that tone is being used in this way, that tone comes from the originating register sender, which means that once you get that tone in most number 1 Crossbars, it has to time out, sometimes to a dial tone, sometimes to the permanent signal trunk. Or you just click off onto the district junctor. And then there's the fact that in most number 1 Crossbars, you can resume dialing when you get that tone and very often have the call go through. But not here. Because here, it's basically the same tone, but they're using it for a purpose that isn't seen anywhere else. Instead of being the partial dial signal, it's the vacant code tone. Now, this office has different kinds of crosstalk, and in this first call from Hoe Avenue, you can hear a kid talking while dialing, and that crosstalk is coming through the register sender. Meanwhile, I'm dialing a vacant code. I'm not sure where that high-pitched tone is coming from. My first thought was that maybe that's coming from a broken payphone. Sometimes the payphones get stuck in such a way that the tone they use to signal coin deposits stays on continuously. But in this next example, the tone has changed. It's not the same pitch, and then it stops. After that, you can clearly hear some talking and dialing, indicating that there is also crosstalk between vacant code trunks. Thank you. So in this neighborhood, you not only get crosstalk while dialing, you also get a weird vacant code tone with crosstalk on it too. In fact, it's so weird that it reminds me of 1969 Las Vegas, Nevada, where Mark Bernay recorded another vacant code tone, a bit more exotic than this one, but what can I say, it was the independent phone company called Centel, and they had a very interesting network. Here's the vacant code tone from Las Vegas. Now the Bell system has been known to use vacant code tones, but they don't sound like this. They sound like this. And I'll be the first to say that giving a customer a tone like that, to mean anything at all, is nuts. But there were Bell system companies that used it a lot. New Jersey Bell through the entire state, including in places like Newark, where you'd get it dialing vacant codes from a panel or crossbar one. I guess after that, this doesn't seem so strange. But this one place in the Bronx, despite all the places I've been, is the only place I've ever found that as a vacant code tone. On that same day in 1976, another call indicated that yes, there is touchtone in this neighborhood. Here's calling it at a time when there are no tones, but there's an unidentified clicking on the line. Now, unlike the partial dial signal in places like Bell Harbor, this vacant code tone does not time out. You can stay on it all day because it has its own dedicated trunks. And that means if the kids wanted to, they could use it as a meeting place like this. We never caught them doing that. All we know is that it did work quite well for singing. By the way, that time there definitely was a payphone stuck on the line, because you can clearly hear both coin tones of the newer totalizers, 1700 and 2200. Now for many years, the other crossbar ones in the Bronx were borrowing the recording from Bronx Tandem.
To 1224.
I'm sorry, we are unable to complete your call as dialed.
For their local vacant codes, this office, Ho Avenue, being the only exception. Then later, in 1978, we began seeing a brand new centralized vacant code recording all over the Bronx from Guess Who?
I'm sorry, we're unable to complete your call as dialed.
Right, but here at Ho Avenue, we never saw it come in. Instead, vacant codes just stopped working. Okay, let's call 958. Except here it isn't 958, it's 112.
3, 2, 3, 7, 8, 4, 9.
Did you catch those last four digits?
7, 8, 4, 9.
You know what? That is one of only two payphones I've ever encountered in the downstate area that doesn't have a last four digits beginning with 9 or 8. 7. Very rare. I've only seen one other. Sometime around 1973, a new Italian restaurant opened in downtown Lynbrook, Long Island. They had their phone number right up on the sign. They were specializing in takeout, and the phone number was 599-7474. Don't call it, it's long gone, because that restaurant only lasted about 6 months. But I did go in there and found, to my surprise, that there was a payphone on the wall with the number 599-7474. Now, there was a desk phone with no dial attached to the same phone line, so they could answer incoming calls for takeout at the desk phone with no dial, but for outgoing calls, they were going to have to go over and drop dimes in the payphone. That arrangement was called a semi-public phone with an extension. I mention that because it's the sort of thing that could be easy to forget ever existed, but it did. However, having a coin phone in the 7,000 group had to be a telephone company mistake. What probably happened was they initially placed the order and started it as regular business service, where you could request a number, and in those days they didn't charge extra for that. So that's probably how it started, and then later they decided to go semi-public, and somebody at the company forgot to notice that that phone number is not compatible with a semi-public phone. Hello?
Yes, Avalon, calling you collect. Can you accept?
Sure, operator. I'll accept the charges. Where's it coming from? California? Sounds good to me. Just kidding, of course. My friends and I were not into that kind of toll fraud. Anyway, that's the reason not to put coin phones in the 7,000 group. And I need to tell you that in the mid-70s, all of the payphones in the Hempstead Territory were in Ivanhoe 6, and they didn't all fit in the 9,000 group, so there were a lot of Ivanhoe 6 8,000 group phones, too. One of my favorites over at the Lakewood station was 486-8130. And around 1974, they changed all the Ivanhoe 6 8 numbers to Ivanhoe 1 9 numbers. Prior to that, Ivanhoe 1 didn't have any coin phones, but they had to do it because in other parts of the country, too many operators were not checking for coin phones unless it was in the 9,000 group. The operators were able to find that information out.
Check 8, check 9, 5, 1, 6, plus.
Using methods such as that, but very often they just didn't ask. And so they changed all of the 486-8 numbers to 4819 numbers. That's how serious a problem it was. Here's a call to 958. 112. 958 is vacant. Anyway, here's a call to 112 at a time when it was doing something very unusual for New York City. These machines that tell you the number you're calling from have the option to announce the number on a PA system inside the central office instead of through the phone. Another thing that it will sometimes do is just ring, supposedly to be answered by a switchman, but I've never seen it happen. The last time I saw something ring like this was in 1974 in Annapolis, Maryland. Here, the ring is normal length and there's no 000 in the background, but after about 3 seconds of ring, the automatic number identification repeats. And that is really weird. And this time it goes right on ringing. apologies for the subway station voices. Not to be confused with real crosstalk. Since many of the tapes I have were recorded in the subway station at Hunts Point Avenue, let me feature one that has typical audio defects from having been recorded there. First of all, if you're near a subway third rail and there's a train speeding up and leaving the station, there's a whining noise that gets broadcast by the third rail and picked up by my pickup coil, which you can hear as a drone increasing in frequency. In this upcoming call, you can hear it during the dialing process. Yeah, that is a subway motor. It doesn't have anything to do with the phone network, but it's kind of cool that it gets picked up when I'm recording the phones. And of course, the other problem is that the roar of subway trains passing underneath sometimes gets into the recording just by the sheer loudness of it, combined with my not smashing the receiver tightly against my ear. You can hear that here. Okay, so just so you know that that's what these noises are when they get into the tape, here's a call that has them rather prominently. It's a call to Ascentrex CU homing on VZ Tandem 2, recording ID 2127. The Ho Avenue crossbar 1 PCIs into VZ Tandem 2, which then dial pulses into the PBX, and we get a ringing number. Most of the noise we hear on the register senders in this Ho Avenue crossbar 1 has nothing to do with the call we're making. It's crosstalk from other calls. However, occasionally you can actually hear something that has to do with our call. On that last example, the PCI pulsing is somewhat audible right before we cut through to the outgoing trunk. It's that shaky noise that corresponds to our register sender sending PCI out. And then that dial pulsing is VZ Tandem 2 dialing into a particular PBX, which is going to ring. Here is a similar call which has similar audio defects. This one ends up on a rural-type ring that the PBX has in this case. The code is 552, which also goes to VZ Tandem 2. Here's another VZ call with fewer defects calling the 530 code. This time we hit a non-working number.
6000 for assistance. If you are calling from the inside, please dial operator. Thank you. This is a recording. The number you have reached is not a working line at home insurance. If you are calling from the outside, dial 530-7000 for assistance. If you are calling from the inside, please dial operator. Thank you. This is a recording.
VZ Tandem 2 includes the mysterious office code 640. It goes to a number 5 crossbar switch at 32 Avenue of the Americas, the New York 4 building, and it's full of telephone numbers that ring but never answer. I explained the mystery of this in Bronx Program 1B, the Grand Concourse Crossbar 1. At that time, the supervision test line in 640 wasn't working. Now it is, so let's call the supervision test, and then we'll call another one of those ringing numbers that never answered. VZ Tandem 2 MFs to the crossbar 5, and in the early 70s, this was the only thing it did that employed MF. These two calls were recorded from a prepay rather than a dial tone first phone. As if this place didn't have enough crosstalk to begin with, here's another VZ Tandem 2 call, this time with crosstalk on the trunk to VZ. And at the end of it all, you can hear the third rail noise of a train pulling out of the station. When you dial a non-working 100 group in one of the VZ Tandem 2 Centrex codes, you're supposed to get centralized intercept with that good old West Street ring.
I'm sorry, the number you have reached is not in service or temporarily disconnected.
But for some reason, the 770-8200 group is going to the vacant code recording. That's gotta be a mistake, but here it is, circa late 1976. Thank you.
Well, sorry, but we have a problem in completing your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator to help you. This is a recording.
2127.
Well, sorry, but we have a problem in completing your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator to help you. This is a recording.
2127.
Well, sorry, but we...
Now, the thing about VZ Tandem 2's vacant code recording is we never should have heard it. But through the years, there are occasional mistakes, and so we did. In the early 70s, they had a code, 955, that they were sending to VZ Tandem 2 and not doing anything with. And so, for the first half of the 70s, if you called 212-955, including from Van Nuys, California, as is illustrated here, you got this.
27. I'm sorry, we are unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator for assistance. This is a recording. 2127. I'm sorry,
I miss her. I thought her voice was really charming. 955 ended up being the new code for mass calling to radio stations, made necessary largely thanks to
99X!
Shut up.
And wouldn't you know it, once 955 was implemented for the radio stations, VZ Tandem 2 had no role to play at all. It wasn't involved in the least. So we never found out what they originally had in mind for that 955 code. It just went to Sally O'Malley.
This is a recording. 2127.
And then suddenly...
99X!
Right. Now, in previous programs, I've expressed an unanswered question about VZ Tandem 2, which in the 70s had an almost exclusive function connecting to businesses that have their own PBX. It's called Centrex CU, as we've been calling in the last few calls. Has these funky little step-by-step PBX rings. And that's what VZ Tandem 2 did in the 70s. But it was installed in 1960, and the question I had was, what the hell was it doing? Because in 1960, there wasn't any Centrex CU yet. It was coming, but it wasn't there. Also, curiously, this is the only Centrex tandem that can MF out. So it must have been doing something. Well, in the process of retroactively narrating these recordings, sometimes I get information from old documents that show up, and guess what? VZ Tandem 2, as of 1960, had another name. It was called Rutgers Tandem. It was a second name for the same switching machine. With a name like Rutgers, it must have had something to do with calling New Jersey. Now, VZ Tandems 1 and 3
2126 2128
are both dedicated to calling New Jersey. And VZ Tandem 2 probably had that function originally, and then they switched it over to Centrex CU sometime in the 60s. Funny how old documents show up and you find things you didn't know. Anyway, that's it for this segment, and there's a lot more of the Ho Avenue Crossbar 1 to come.